Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Summit Church podcast. At the end of this episode, be sure to take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch more content that will encourage you in your journey with Jesus. And if this message inspires you, share it with a friend. I hope the next few minutes will be a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Steve has experienced what you already know to be true. It feels good to be invited. And when you're invited to a place like this, it's an invitation to faith and to family. And so many times, it's that one invitation that truly changes everything. If you haven't had a chance to meet before, I'm so glad to see you today. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at the Summit. And today, we are landing the plane. We're wrapping up a series called So Much More. Now, we started this series on the first weekend of the year, and we've been going through five practices that can help us grow in our spiritual journey. And the idea is that each of us see these practices and make commitments about how we might grow closer to Jesus in the coming year based on the commitments that we make. And so you may not have been here for all five of those. If you haven't, I hope you'll catch up on YouTube. But so we're on the same page today. I want to take just a moment and catch you up. Week one, we talked about the power of praying. And we talked about praying. We talked about what it means to be a prayer who loves prayer. Someone who prays so much and so diligently with such heartfelt connection to God that you fall in love with communicating with Him. And the key question for us to think about when it comes to prayer is, who do you turn to? When you have a problem, when you have an issue, when you have something to celebrate, where's the first place that you turn? Do you turn to a person around you, or do you turn to God in prayer? And week two, Pastor Chris preached, and we talked about the practice of growing. And Pastor Chris reminded us that spiritual growth is a process. It doesn't happen instantly. You don't hit a button and suddenly you're there. It's something that takes time to grow into. And the question that we need to ask when it comes to growing is, where are you going? When you set a target and you have a plan, a place that you're trying to go, a destination in mind, it helps you know how to get from here to there. So when it comes to your growing, where are you going? The third practice we talked about is the practice of giving. And we talked about the fact that generosity changes us. In fact, this is a research-based reality. Research tells us that people who give, people who are generous, are happier and healthier. They experience less stress in their lives. Giving is actually good for you. And the question we answer when we think about giving is, what is your plan? What is your plan to support the church you love? What is your plan to see God's kingdom become real on earth as it is in heaven? How are you investing in what God is doing? Last week, we talked about the fourth practice, which is serving. And the key reality that we talked about last week is that there's a place for you to serve. Regardless of how you're gifted or what you love, your passions that are bubbling up inside of you are there to help you find a place to make a difference. And so the question we need to answer is, what is your place? Where is it that you're going to plug in and make a difference? And there are places you can do that up front, like on the welcome team, where you see everything that's happening. There are places you can do that behind the scenes, like running a camera on Sunday mornings. And there are places you can do that out in the community by partnering with our mission partners. And today we come to our fifth practice: praying, growing, giving, serving, and this week is inviting. And today, as we talk about inviting, we're thinking about the key reality that we need to be taking others to Jesus. Because we know the difference Jesus can make, we need to take others to Him. And the question that brings up for us is this one, and where we'll camp out today: who are you bringing? Who are you bringing with you along this journey? And to answer that question, or help us see how we might answer it, today we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you can open it up there. It'll also be on the screen. You can Google it, use your Bible app, whatever you need to do. But let me just lay the foundation for you with where we are in the book of Mark. Mark is a gospel, a story of Jesus' life, written by someone named Mark. Mark is closely associated with Jesus. He's an acquaintance, a friend of Peter the apostle, and he's also associated in the scriptures with Paul and Barnabas. So Mark is well connected. Mark has seen up close and personal what it is that Jesus can do and the difference that Jesus makes in the lives of people. And what we get to see in the book of Mark is the story of Jesus from the moment that he is baptized, which is where we begin in Mark chapter 1. Jesus is baptized, and not long after that, Jesus begins to call his first followers. And they begin to follow him, and they begin to travel around with him. And what we see happening is that miracles are being performed. There are amazing things that are happening. Jesus is doing things that no one thought was ever going to be possible. And the book of Mark uses one phrase or one word repeatedly. And the word that he uses is the word immediately. The word immediately occurs time and time again. Immediately Jesus went there. Immediately Jesus did this. Immediately they fill in the blank. For Mark, there's a sense of urgency to this message. He knows that there's importance to it because he knows the difference that Jesus can make. And so Mark begins to take us on a journey, and we pick up the story in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, remember, he's out traveling around. He's teaching. He's healing. He's being baptized. Here we find him back in Capernaum. Several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. People are hearing what Jesus is doing, and they are showing up because they want to be part of it, because they want to see for themselves what it is they're hearing that Jesus is doing. The life of Jesus is attractive. When Jesus is working in someone's life, people notice. When Jesus is at work in a church, people notice because those places are just different. Remember back at the beginning of the century, I was a youth pastor. Yeah, it was 20 years ago. It feels like an eternity, right? And in my youth pastor days, I received a phone call pretty regularly that went like this. What do you have for students at your church? And I would tell them, you know, we do small groups, we have places to serve, and we have a worship service. And we'd tell them all this stuff, right? And the person on the other line would say something like this. Well, my kid is really struggling, and they've been in trouble, and they need this. And I would welcome them to come and bring their kid to church. And they would. They would show up at church and they would drop them off. And the reason they would drop them off is because the parents never intended to be involved. They intended to drop their kids off and let us fix their kids in 90 minutes during the course of the week. And then for them to take them home and they would be totally better, whatever that means in their situation. And so mom and dad would drop the kids off, get in the car, go to dinner, and they would come back and pick them up. And surprise, surprise, 90 minutes with strangers didn't do the trick. Because here's what's true of all of us. It's much easier to go with someone than to be told to go somewhere that they don't want to go. If we want others to meet Jesus, we need to be headed there first. What's the first thing that we pull out of this message from the book of Mark? It's this: make your way to Jesus. If you want other people to see all that God can do, if you want them to be in, to see what God might want to do in their lives, if you want them to follow Jesus, if you want to see the difference that it might make, it means that we do it ourselves first. Make your way to Jesus. Let's continue in Mark chapter 2. This is the second half of verse 2. While he was preaching God's word to them, Jesus is preaching, okay? Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole in the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. What's the second thing Mark says? Mark says, make your way to Jesus. And then he says this, take others to Jesus. These four men knew what could happen if they made their way to Jesus with this man. And so they went and got him. And I'm envisioning this guy on a mat with four people, one on each of the four corners, and they carry him. From wherever they were, they carry him. And they make their way to Jesus, and they're probably hoping he's going to be outside the house, and it's going to be super quick and easy, right? They can walk up and be like, our friend needs you, and there can be healing, and this moment's kind of taking care of itself. But they show up, and it's packed. You can't even get to the doors, it's so packed. And they have a problem, don't they? Because they know that if this man could just experience Jesus, It could change everything. And so they do the only thing that makes sense to them in the moment. They did whatever it took. So they picked up the man on his mat and they made their way up the outside staircase around the house. And they make their way to the roof and they begin to claw their way through the roof. And they don't create just a little hole so they can look and see Jesus down below. They create a man-sized hole so that this man can be lowered through the roof to the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine the mess? Can you imagine the destruction? Can you imagine the distraction that this would have been? I mean, I'm guessing that Jesus had his sermon memorized, okay? I mean, he doesn't need his notes or anything like that, but he's preaching this message. And all these people are dialed in and listening, and suddenly someone starts drilling a hole in the roof. Do you think they're going to notice? People are going to look up. They're going to see what's going on. And in this moment, these four men are making clear how important it is for their friend to make his way to the feet of Jesus. And I wonder, is there something that you want that badly? Is there something that you're so desperate to see come to reality that you're willing to do anything to make it happen? There's always that one thing around Christmas time, right? This year it happened a few days after Christmas, actually. On December 31st, Target sold their Cosmo Pink Stanley Cup. Now, I'm conflicted about Stanley, if I'm just going to be honest with you. Because when I grew up, Stanleys were reserved for old men and their coffee. In fact, my grandpa had a green Stanley thing that he carried with him everywhere he went with piping hot, dark as tar, Folgers coffee that was vile, but he had it no matter what. But now, a Stanley is a status symbol. It means that you've arrived, right? I mean, it means that you can carry all the water you'll ever need for the rest of your life in one cup, and you can carry it around all day, doesn't it? And people lined up overnight for a chance to buy a pink Stanley cup, and in just minutes across the United States, the shelves were wiped out. People would have literally torn the roof off a Target for a chance to get their Cosmo Pink Stanley Cup. I have no doubt. And I wonder, what do you want badly enough that you would do that? What do you want desperately enough that you would do whatever it takes? And the big question that we need to answer today is this one: who are you bringing? And it's an important question to answer because of the possibilities that lie on the other side. Let's see what happens here with Jesus and these men. Verse 5. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." So what do we pull out of this passage of scripture? It's this truth, that Jesus makes a difference. Jesus makes the kind of difference that makes our discomfort worthwhile. Jesus makes the kind of difference that it's worth it to pick up the mat and carry it from wherever and up the stairs and dig a hole in the roof. Why did they do that? Because they knew of the healing that could happen in this man's life. It happens time and time again in Scripture. Andrew invited Peter to come and meet Jesus. Philip invited Nathanael to come and meet Jesus. The Samaritan woman went back to her city and invited everyone to come with her to see what Jesus had done. Matthew hosted a party at his house so that he could introduce people to Jesus. And it's not just about the introduction, and it's not just about the beginnings of the relationship. It's what it means. When the invitation leads to Jesus, it means that the person who steps in has an opportunity to experience fullness of life. It means the person who steps in has a chance to have a peace that passes understanding, to have a God who fights for them, to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, to have a constant companion, to have that presence in their life that will never leave you, will never fail you, will never forsake you. And that's what it means to invite someone to have a relationship with him. So, who are you bringing? Next week, something pretty incredible is happening. I don't see tons of red today, but a little bit. Next weekend, of course, is the beginning of our next sermon series. That is correct. Yes, yes. It is the Super Bowl. And in fact, I want to use the Super Bowl to think about how we might invite people to church, how you might invite people to walk with Jesus. Let's think about it through the lens of football. So I've spent a lot of time thinking about football this week. It's been a lot of fun, and I've discovered some things. In fact, I think I've seen every interaction, every angle of Travis and Taylor on the field. Yes. Have I seen the lip readings? Yes. Have I listened to the audio? I have. Does it bring me immense joy? In fact, it does. I've seen the nonsense from the Baltimore fans saying that the refs gave us the game and that Zay Flowers actually crossed the goal line. I've seen all the craziness. I've seen the Detroit Lions implode over and over as I've watched clips on YouTube. But there's one thing I love more than anything else, and it's hearing someone who knows more than I do talk about how great our quarterback is. I love watching the Chase Daniels show on YouTube. The former backup Chiefs quarterback also went to school locally, I understand. A proud Mizzou alum for all you MIZers out there. But my favorite moment is this one that happened when Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark were breaking down the Chiefs on ESPN this week. I watched this clip several times on YouTube because I love the way that they give you nuance of the game. I mean, they're talking about the cut call that the Baltimore defense makes. They're talking about how Travis Kelce's chip block at the beginning of almost every play is giving Mahomes enough time to make the throw. They're talking about how the outside leverage that the Baltimore cornerbacks used gave Marquez Valdez-Scantling time to get open in order to make the catch. I've been telling you guys all year that he was the best receiver on the team, haven't I? There's so much going on, and I've learned so much about Chiefs and football this week, but I used to play football too. I know a thing or two myself. For instance, I know that when you draw up a play in the backyard that there are three options. Short for the slow big guy, that was always me. Medium for the guy who is a little faster, and go long for the fastest guy. You've seen this, right? The Chiefs are a little more complicated. They run Ferrari and corndog and snow globe. And they also run this one, which is my personal favorite. It is called Rose Bowl Right Parade. They break, they come to the line, and they prepare to snap. But before they do, Patrick Mahomes says, shift. The team moves over. The direct snap goes to Damian Williams. He begins to run it in. We think it's a touchdown. It's not, but that's okay. It's first and goal, and the Chiefs will eventually score. What we have here is a picture of how complicated football can be. But it doesn't have to be, does it? Because short, medium, long can accomplish the same thing in a game of backyard football. So think about who you're bringing in these terms. The short pass, the one that you know can be completed. This is the person you invite to church that you're pretty sure will say yes. They've been looking for a church. Maybe they've been thinking about going to church. Maybe they've mentioned in coming to church with you. That's the short pass. That's the one that you invite first. And then there's the medium pass. It's the person who is, they're on the fence, right? They're maybe a yes, maybe a not yet, probably not a firm no, but perhaps if you just invite them to come and promise them lunch afterwards, they're a yes, right? Incentivize this medium pass, and maybe they will come to church with you. And then there's the Hail Mary, which you know in football, the Hail Mary is never supposed to work, right? Like you throw it up and it's like, if it works, it's a miracle. And everybody goes bonkers and it is crazy. And think about that person in your life, the Hail Mary invitation. The person who you would likely ask and you think they're going to say no, but what if they don't? What if they say yes? And what if the time they walk in the doors is the time that they see the truth about who Jesus is? And what if it's in that moment that their life is changed forever? Now, these categories aren't flawless. They don't speak to all the nuance of our lives, but it does help us to think about who we might be inviting. And so as we answer this question, who are you bringing. Next week is the beginning of a sermon series. You're going to receive cards on your way out. It's a series about relationships. Next week, I'm preaching a sermon about trust and having trust in relationships and placing trust in God. But there's also all kinds of fun happening because it is going to be Super Bowl Sunday. We have Kingdom Cold Brew. We have Chiefs Donuts. We have photo ops. We have activities for the kids. We have all kinds of fun things happening here. Why? Because we want you to be able to invite people to join you on this journey. A 2022 study from Barna showed that among unchurched people, there was a 44% increase in the number of people who showed an openness to God following the pandemic. People are hungry to experience life with Christ. People are looking for something new and something next. They're looking for hope in their lives. Probably you've seen the Five Practices Field Guide along the way. I mean, if you didn't get it today, you probably saw it one of the other 4 weeks of the series, and there's lots of resources in here. And so I just want to remind you, there's a place to make a plan in here. There's a QR code to scan and get resources for all five practices. And today you'll get an email that'll have devotional about being a person who is inviting. But today I just want to draw your attention to one fact. It's on page 45 of your field guide, and it says this. Studies have shown that 86% of non-churchgoers would say yes to an invitation to church if someone would just ask them. So what would it mean for you to be the person who makes the ask? What would it take for you to identify that person and answer the question, who are you bringing, by bringing them with you next Sunday? And it's not a rhetorical question necessarily. It's an opportunity for action to step in and to see what God might do in the lives of the people in your life. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we say thank you for the commitment of the four men who picked up their friend and carried him to hear the preaching of Jesus, to see the presence of Christ in the flesh. And it wasn't because it was Sunday and they had to. And it wasn't because someone made them. And it wasn't an obligation. It was because they knew the difference that Jesus could make. God, help us to use that motivation in our own lives, to be a bringer, to ask someone, and to find an opportunity to see others introduced to the love of Jesus and experience the life that we have found. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.